So today we are reading from Madhya Lila chapter 2, a series of verses from text 40 to 47. And on the board we have 47. So I'll read the first few verses and the translations. We're in a chapter which is entitled The Ecstatic Manifestations of Lord Chaitanya. So text 40. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friends, you are my life and soul. Therefore I tell you that I possess no wealth of love for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty-stricken. My limbs and senses are useless." 41. Again he addressed Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, speaking despondently, "Alas, my friends, you can now know the certainty within my heart, and after knowing my heart, you should judge whether I am correct or not. You can speak of this properly." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then began to chant another verse. "Love of Godhead, devoid of cheating propensities, is not possible within this material world. If there is such a love, there cannot be separation. For if there is separation, how can one live? Pure love for Krishna, just like gold from the Jambu River, does not exist in human society. If it existed, there could not be separation. If separation were there, one could not live." Thus speaking, the son of Srimati Sachimata recited another wonderful verse, and Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar heard this verse with rapt attention. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I feel shameful to disclose the activities of my heart. Nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak from the heart. Please hear." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friends, I have not the slightest tinge of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. Whatever I do is actually an exhibition of pseudo-love of Godhead. When you see me cry, I am simply falsely demonstrating my great fortune. Please try to understand this beyond a doubt." And so we come to today's verse, text 47. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. "Even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna as he plays on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body. That is the way of lust. In this way I maintain my fly-like life." Purport by His Divine Grace. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the lovable Supreme Lord is the supreme shelter. The Lord is the supreme subject, and the devotees are the object. The coming together of a subject and object is called alambana. The object hears, and the subject plays the flute. That the object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna and has no eagerness to see him is the sign of being without alambana. Externally imagining such a thing simply satisfies one's lusty desires, and thus one lives without purpose. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Dasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So this is a very esoteric section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this chapter especially. The author has chosen to give, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, has chosen to give a summary of the Lord's final pastimes. The Antyalila summary is found in this chapter. And this Antyalila, the activities that take place in the Antyalila are quite inconceivable to us. They are characterized by a range of expressions, activities, behaviors, words also, which are typically described as signs of madness. They are also illogical. But we should not mistake them to be the illogical madness of typical mundane life, where there is plenty illogic and madness to be found. Rather, these expressions have the symptom of being contradictory at times. They have the another symptom of being devoid of logic, because they are so overflowing with the mental state of Mahaprabhu that normal considerations are put aside and normal expressions are also put aside. Mahaprabhu in this phase is entirely in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and his activities in Gambhira, where these discussions really take place, are extraordinary. There are some very nice phrases and sentences spoken by Mahaprabhu here. So we'll just touch on some of them. He is, of course, sharing his mind with two very confidential companions, Sri Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami. And this is one of the, or these two personalities are one of the encouraging factors in Mahaprabhu's development of emotion. Transcendental emotion requires many, many supporting factors. And the actual analysis of rasa is quite complex. The rasa tattva itself is an entire subject for many, many seminars. How rasa develops, the different aspects it requires, vibhav, anubhav, etc. And then within those we have some of the terms that we come across today. So one term that's brought up here is alambana, which refers to a type of union. Now the meaning itself is more comprehensive than just that. But here in the purport we hear about alambana is the coming together of a subject and object. So there's a little technical development that's required before we can make sense of this. So within the development of rasa tattva, there is one category called vibhav, one of the aspects. Now I won't go into the actual details, but we'll just come to this point of alambana. And one of those items within vibhav, there are two aspects, alambana and uddipana. And alambana refers to the actual subject, the characteristics. It refers to the it has many meanings actually, but it refers to a context. And the context of the development of this rasa is Radha and Krishna. Is the combination, the union, as it said here, of the subject and the object, Radha and Krishna. And then Uddipana, the very stimuli, the flute, the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, the peacock feathers he puts in his hair, the different activities, the characteristics. So these two components help in the development of this rasa. And in this purport, specifically, it's emphasized that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talks about subject and object. And so that's important, because in any exchange of rasa, there have to be two parties as a minimum, exchanging rasa based upon their differences. Rasa cannot be exchanged between identical persons. In much the same way that if you have a magnet and you bring two north poles together, you don't have much interaction. There have to be opposing forces. If you bring the north pole of a magnet and the south pole together, you get some attraction. So with Krishna and Radharani, there are complementary features. It is said that Krishna has split himself eternally into two parts, Krishna and Radharani, just so that they can exchange rasa. So Radharani is the object. Krishna is the subject. Krishna, the subject, is the component of any concept which allows the object to exist. The object is defined in terms of its connection with the subject. So the subject is Krishna, the controller, the Lord, the embodiment of sweetness in this case. And the object is The Ashraya is Srimati Radharani. Now, typically, Lord Krishna is in the category of the subject. He is the Lord, Ekaleshwara Krishna Arasabhavritya. He is the Supreme Lord, and everyone else is his devotee. That's the tattva of Krishna. That's his status. No one can contest that. And so Ashraya, the enjoyed, that can vary sometimes. Now the whole manifestation of Srimati Radharani as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course it's Krishna manifesting as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when he comes, he adopts the mood of Srimati Radharani. There is this transcendental difference which even the Lord wants to understand. Vishaya and Ashraya, the subject and the object, they experience different things in union. So when Krishna is there and he is with Radharani, Radharani serving him, pleasing him, and the exchange is there as well, of course, she's deriving so much pleasure from Krishna, that's a certain type of mellow that Krishna experiences. But there are some things he doesn't quite understand, which are the privilege of the Ashraya category. He cannot understand the type of enjoyment, the type of ecstasy that Srimati Radharani feels, which him being the Supreme Lord doesn't feel. So for this purpose, just in order to experience the other side, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes the roles of subject and object are also switched. And sometimes the Lord wishes to be more in the situation of a dependent rather than the situation of a controller. Now in some way this month of Damodar also celebrates this aspect. The Vatsalya Bhav in some way can be said to be along these lines. That in Vatsalya Bhav, Krishna doesn't attempt to be the controller, the lead. He doesn't attempt to be the subject. In some sense, Mother Yashoda's love becomes the subject, the overpowering aspect. And Krishna simply comes to be supported by that. Love, chastisement, correction, nurturing. So we celebrate this interesting pastime for an entire month. Because through this pastime, we are given a little window into something that is very exalted. It is not anyone's right or ability to demand that that I should have the chance to chastise Krishna. No living entity can say that. I would like Krishna as my dependent, as subordinate to me. No one has that right. If anyone tries to challenge Krishna's supremacy, I mean, we know what happens to them. And Krishna book is full of stories where one demon after another who wishes to pose themselves as an authority or someone greater than Krishna, they're dispatched with a few slaps, a few arrangements, a few punches. That's it. It doesn't take much for Krishna to dispatch any challengers to his position. But this special pastime where Krishna is he's looking for the special rasa that comes from being a dependent. That's a pastime which happens because Krishna awards that facility to Mother Yashoda. He gives that facility to those in the Vatsalya Bhav that he will be subordinate to them. He will be controlled by them. He will do what they say. If Nanda Maharaj asks him to bring him his shoes, he will carry them with great difficulty on his head. But if anyone else tries that, not a chance. So we celebrate this. And so while we have these categories, subject, object, the subject of love, the object, they sometimes, for transcendental pleasure, they are a little less clearly defined. Who is the subject in a particular interaction? Who is the object? So when Lord Krishna comes with the mood of Srimati Radharani, especially in those final years in Gambhira, he's exhibiting these emotions which are Srimati Radharani's mood in separation. After Krishna has left, he's ditched the gopis, he's gone. He's through circumstance, through providence, through the arrangement of the agents which create pastime situations, Krishna has left. And then Srimati Radharani and all the gopis are thrown into an ocean of lamentation. Now, we have no idea what type of lamentation that is. In this world, we have a little sense of lamentation when someone close to us leaves or when we lose the association of someone. But because our entire existence, our entire thought, our entire capacity was never reposed in that person anyway, being the material world, we can't grasp fully what it is like to actually lose the entire person or subject that has been our entire absorption. So when faced with that situation, when a person like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attempts to express it, it comes out in very unconventional ways. It is not a type of behavior that is expressed easily in standard terminology. In some cases, the words don't exist. Our acharyas, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the Goswamis, and others have attempted to explain this science. And there are many, many terms, very technical terms, used to describe the development of all these stages of bhav, separation, dati, sthayi bhav, etc., each with their unique characteristics and development stages. And Mahaprabhu is expressing something that even challenges those definitions. That his expressions are so much on a different platform, on a different level, that even his close confidential companions are completely bewildered. How do we deal with this latest ecstatic manifestation of the Lord? Lord Chaitanya sometimes is lost in thought. He's completely frustrated. He's in his room in the Gambhira. He's looking for Srimati Radharani. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's trying to exit the room. And so in the process, he's banging his head on the walls. And these are one of the ecstatic activities of the Lord. Externally, very horrific. He bangs his head on the wall trying to find the door to exit in his transcendental madness. And then his servants hear the noise. They come in and they find him with his forehead covered in blood. They wonder what's going on. And people are thinking, what kind of relationship is this? But in this chapter, the author has given a synopsis of the activities. While Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was writing this, his point was that I should give the complete pastimes of the Lord as quickly as possible. So this chapter is a summary chapter. And he says, who knows how long I may survive? So at least if I don't manage to elaborately describe these details, here in this chapter I can present a synopsis. So that's what we're reading today. We're reading just the actual summary of the real detailed pastimes which come predominantly in the Antya Leela. And they're characterized by physical behaviors, physical symptoms in the body of the Lord. A repellation, bodily transformations, ecstatic feelings, crying, laughing, screaming, transcendental emotions all mixed up, which have interesting effects on different people. For those in the world of Maya, those who have no entrance into the science or realm of bhakti, these ecstatic behaviors and symptoms fulfill the purpose of keeping such people away from bhakti forever. They will look at these behaviors and think, this is so illogical. I can't believe a God who behaves like this. And God says, fine. Krishna is not under any obligation to make himself revealed or available to everyone. He's not a megalomaniac who keeps needing a constant boost to his ego. He doesn't need constant support, appreciation from others. He simply doesn't care. He's the Supreme Lord. He does whatever he wants. And so Krishna's behavior, which is actually quite confidential, but we discuss it only in the context of Srila Prabhupada's purports and in the context of the empowerment given to us by the authors of these works. Only through their mercy do we get a little insight into how the Lord thinks. The principle here is that with the Lord's contradictory words, his contradictory actions, He has given up all connection with standard procedures. Now, if there is such a thing that allows us to give up contact with standard procedures, that is probably a very exalted thing. In the mundane, typical world, people very easily give up procedures and regulations. Indeed, we seem to be in a sort of a phase of rebellion at the moment. Around the world, everyone is rebelling. Whatever standards there are, whatever laws there are, whatever situations, no one is happy with them. They're all fighting, demonstrating, complaining. So in Kali Yuga, rebelling against standards, rebelling against norms isn't anything particularly great. But now just imagine we transport ourselves onto a different platform where actually society is running in a very organized, harmonious way with advanced persons guiding society. And then within that society where everything is actually working very harmoniously, progressively, so that each person is being uplifted, within that kind of society you have persons who are experiencing something so transcendental that even the rules, norms of that exalted society appear to be insignificant. Now that's a type of ecstasy worth investigating. What is it that Mahaprabhu is feeling here that allows everything else to be thrown away, even standard interactions? These two persons, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, they act as confidential instigators in Mahaprabhu's moods. Ramananda Roy especially would act as a pacifying agent or as an enticing agent in the development of Mahaprabhu's ecstasies. He wrote this drama, Jagannath Vallabh Nataka, and Mahaprabhu liked this drama very, very much because it dealt with the mood of Srimati Radharani just prior to the whole Rathayatra scene, the mood of separation as the gopis are heading to meet Krishna, the ecstatic feelings that they have. And so Mahaprabhu would frequently ask Ramananda Roy to read from this book, and he would read himself. And that would act as something that encouraged his moods. These two devotees knew what to say at the right time to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu says something like, "Even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna and there is no possibility of meeting him, still I take care of my body. That is lust. In this way I maintain my fly-like life." Now how on earth would you respond to that? The Supreme Lord is there displaying his ecstasies, considering himself to be like a fly. Would you even know what to say in that situation? But Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, they know exactly what to say because they understand. Now, interestingly, in these words we can draw some interesting ideas. In text 40, the start of this section, Mahaprabhu is lamenting that he possesses no love for Krishna. Now that's one of the features of a very exalted devotee. That even though their devotion is quite extensive, they still feel they have no love for the Lord. Now just contrast that with someone of the mundane world. They practically have no love for the Lord, but whatever little ability or little desire or little religious progress they have made, whatever the extent of that, they like to amplify that and gain recognition, name, fame, recognition, credit for it. A little idea pops into their mind that I would like to find out something about the Lord. And they immediately think, I'm a very advanced devotee of the Lord. But now look at someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. They are so exalted in their development of love for the Lord, but still they find themselves completely inadequate. Here the logic that Mahaprabhu uses is quite bewildering. He says, I don't have connection with Krishna. I don't have a relationship with the Lord. Yet I'm still maintaining my body. Let me find the... Yes, he's referring to his crying in separation. He describes it as, I am falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. He says, indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. Now these two components, sambhog and vipralamba, sambhog means union and vipralamba means separation, they are two complementary aspects of exchange of love. Now sambhog means union, the coming together. So obviously in the past, Srimati Radharani has had the association of Krishna. She has had an extensive association of Krishna, maybe not so extensive time-wise, but in intensity, yes. She's the sole pleasure giver to Krishna, in some description. So she has had that union. And then separation is not something that anyone chooses. We actually describe, in a tattva sense, separation to be higher than sambhog. But actually separation is never desired by two lovers. They want union. They want to be with each other. So this separation aspect is very much not desired by Srimati Radharani, but when it is enforced upon her by providence, if you like, although there is nothing superior to Krishna, still Krishna has to use these agents to allow his pastimes to take place. After all, if there wasn't some sort of power which could override the feelings, then you wouldn't have the setting for pastimes to develop to higher and higher levels. So providence or fate, these are words which are used by Srimati Radharani to express why Krishna has left her, why she is now bereft of his association. So here, the extent of her separation has gone so far that she's saying, I don't even know who Krishna is. I am now crying in lamentation with all these tears coming, false separation. I'm in separation of the Lord, but I don't actually even know him. This alambana, this union itself has never happened. So all my tears and all my expressions, they're simply cheating. In these stages of Mahabhava, Anubhav, the expressions are so exalted that reality is often set aside. Just as we hear another exalted pastime with Radha and Krishna, and this takes place in the place of Prem Sarovar, which is a wonderful pastime of celebrating the separation and union, where the tears of Radha and Krishna actually form this lake, Prem Sarovar, which is considered to be their liquid love in one sense. But Krishna, to tease Radharani on one occasion, he says, Madhu has gone. He's with Radharani. He says, Madhu has gone. Krishna has gone. But he's referring to a bee which was floating around. And Radharani just hears this. Now she's sitting right next to Krishna. Krishna's right there. But she hears that this bee has gone. She doesn't realize it's the bee. She just hears, Madhu has gone. And immediately she's in tremendous anxiety. She loses it completely, transcendentally. Krishna's right next to her, but she's acting as if he's gone. So she starts lamenting, expressing so many words, so many phrases, singing, crying. And then seeing the depth of love that Srimati Radharani has for him, Krishna starts crying as well. And so their tears form this lake. And so in these higher expressions of rasa, logic is not the main component. The complete absorption of both parties in each other is the main component. And when there is a little disturbance, a little perturbation in that scene, then all these types of expressions come out. Now we may be thinking this is quite exalted and is way beyond us. Srimati Radharani has had Krishna, and now he's gone, and now she's in separation. That makes sense, right? But here we're thinking, I've never had Krishna at all. We've never had this stage of union. We've never had this stage of sambhog. We're just about trying to figure out who Krishna is. We're just about hearing about him. So how can I possibly understand or ever be happy in this stage of separation? Even Prabhupada says, being separated from Krishna is a high stage of devotional life. And we carry out our devotional service in this mood of separation. But we don't really want that, do we? We want to be with the Lord. We want Krishna. We want Krishna consciousness. And so this understanding of the subject and the object is very, very important. The object's existence without the subject has no meaning. Here one analogy is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani saying, still I dress myself very nicely. Even though I don't have Krishna, I don't know him, still I maintain my body and I dress myself. Now we all know that the gopis would dress themselves very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. They would put on ornaments, they would wear nice clothes, they would wear color combinations that would please Krishna. They would do that for Krishna's pleasure. And each mood that the gopi would bring out would entice a different exhibition or escalation in the relationship with Krishna. So the logic is that if I don't have Krishna anymore, and I'm still maintaining myself, still dressing myself very nicely, I'm simply a cheetah. I'm simply a fly-like insect. There is no point to it. Sometimes Prabhupada would give interesting little lessons. There's a Bengali proverb he would quote which says something like, you dress for others and you eat for yourself. Which is interesting, right? The clothes we wear, our appearance, is actually meant for others. You know, if you go to work in a posh office and you're not wearing your suit and tie and you turn up in jeans, etc., you might get a few glances. Ultimately, you're probably more comfortable wearing the jeans. But you don't dress for yourself, you dress for others. But you eat for yourself. Like Prabhupada said, one man's food is another man's poison. So each person has their own unique tastes. But actually, the whole point is that dressing is done for the pleasure of the beloved, or for the pleasure of the environments within which you're acting. So the gopis are thinking, or Radharani is thinking, what is the point? I keep maintaining myself and Krishna's gone. That means I am lusty. That's the word she uses. She says, out of vanity or lust, I simply maintain myself, make myself look beautiful. That means I'm trying to attract the attention of someone else. Krishna's gone, so there's no chance of me attracting his attention. He doesn't know me, I've never known him, I haven't got a clue where he is. But the fact that I'm still making myself look attractive means that I'm trying to attract someone else's attention. So just think of the contradictory and interesting emotional developments that go on in this rasa. When someone has given their entire existence to Krishna, anything, including their own very existence, separate from Krishna, is just a calculation they cannot do. It's all pointless. It's something that's so frustrating that they're looking for an exit from it. But this is where the contradictory aspects come in. Because one moment they criticize their situation, they criticize their behavior, they criticize their facilities or whatever it is. In the next moment they simply remember Krishna. They remember his cooling lotus-like feet, his wonderful arms, his beautiful nails. And they think, how merciful Krishna is, that one day I had the chance to be in association with Krishna, and I had the dust of his lotus feet. And yes, it's only a matter of time before I'll be reunited with him again. Now these thoughts are often encouraged by the companions. Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar. When Mahaprabhu would go into exceptional states of ecstasy, sometimes completely frustrated at having lost Krishna, they would pacify him and say, don't worry, Krishna is coming. You will see Krishna soon. Now Mahaprabhu would be always attracted by different objects which reminded him of Krishna. And so that's one of the items also. I mentioned two items, Alambana and Uddipana. So these items, Uddipana, these characteristics, these items like the flute, in Mahaprabhu's case, he would see a river, he would see a lake, he would see some water, and think it's the water of the Yamuna. And he would go running towards it. He would see some small mound of earth, and he would think this is Govardhan Hill. And he would immediately try to reach there. Now, of course, Nityananda tricked Mahaprabhu. Others, different devotees, trick Mahaprabhu sometimes. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but they took him instead to the Ganga and said, here you are, here's the Yamuna. Because they didn't want Mahaprabhu to leave. So the companions of the Lord act to cause this rasa, this exchange to develop in completely transcendental ways. You have to be of a certain caliber, of a certain stage. And Lord Chaitanya considered, in one place he states that Ramananda Roy is like a copy of me. He says he knows exactly what I'm thinking. He knows exactly where my emotions are going. And he knows exactly how to complement them, how to support them. And so, with these two confidential companions, Mahaprabhu would experience these transcendental ecstasies, which are mind-blowing for everyone else. This subject and object, in terms of its tattva, is something that we as sadhakas, we try to understand. We have to have a very firm concept of the subject. Normally, we've misplaced our logic. Generally, in the mundane world, we are full of ourselves. That's the expression, right? We're full of ourselves. Everything we do is about us. My progress in life, my achievements in life. What have I accomplished? What am I going to accomplish? How do I do this? How do I look? How do I come across to others? It's all about me. And we think that's the subject. But actually it isn't. And so our process of spiritual development, starting from the Sambandha level, really, and Sanatana Goswami is the Acharya for developing Sambandha, the Sambandha Acharya, understanding the connection between the subject and the object, the connection between Krishna and the devotee. This forms the basis of a large amount of the devotee's efforts. We can take great inspiration and wonder at these pastimes. But these pastimes are not directly topics that we meditate on in our daily sadhaka practices. We are aware of these exalted stages. But our practice and our effort goes into firmly understanding who is the subject and who is the object. We understand that Krishna is the subject. He is the supreme whole, the supreme Godhead. From him so many other supremacies emanate. Om Purnamada Purnamidam, as stated in the Ishopanishad. So many manifestations of the Lord are there, Lord Balaram and others. And Krishna remains the supreme origin. Now Krishna as the supreme origin is in connection with everyone else, all his other servants like us. One day we also aspire to be servants of Krishna, to be accepted by him. But we can't do that unless we actually know what our connection is with Krishna. We have to at least be of a similar kind to Krishna. We have to become one with Krishna in one sense. Not in the sense of the Mayavadis. Not in the sense of wanting the Sarupya, Salokya, Sarshti, any of the different types of oneness or liberation that typically people desire. I want to be the same as the Lord, I want to have his power, I want his abode. No, we learn, as the Acharyas explained, to be one in intent with the Lord. Whatever the Lord's intention is, that is our intention. Whatever the Lord's desire is, that is our desire. So with that, we actually have a very nice reciprocation. So the progress of spiritual life depends upon the firm establishment of tattva, of understanding the difference between the subject and the object. And these topics can be quite difficult. They certainly require some effort from us. To understand the tattva of the Lord requires a lot of study, it requires a lot of realization, a lot of guidance. The process of Vaidhi Sadhana, which is just the initial stage of the full development process of prema, from sadhana to bhava to prema, these are all different stages. And then within the higher stages of prema, you have so many different divisions. We have to develop these initial aspects very strongly. So we study the Srimad Bhagavatam. We read about the identity of the Lord. We understand who the Lord is, what is his actual position, his power, his greatness, his strength. then we also understand that, yes, we are devotees, like the many devotees we hear about. They also have a connection with the Lord. But we have to develop our connection with Him. And over a period of time, when we do that, we develop our connection. We develop our absorption in Krishna in an increasing level. We actually start to experience Krishna directly. That separation, which for us seems to be happening in the wrong order. For the gopis, it's union, then it's separation. For us, it seems to be separation all the way through. When will the union ever happen? Krishna is there, but will I ever know Him? That will happen. And that will happen predominantly through the chanting of the holy name. Because through the chanting of the holy name, we are directly with Krishna. But we don't realize it. Just as Srimati Radharani here is saying that I have no attraction for Krishna, my existence is pointless, I don't know Krishna, yet I'm doing so many things. So Mahaprabhu also says in his Shikshashtakam, he tells us that I have put all my potencies into the holy name. But yet I'm so unfortunate, I don't have any attraction for it. I simply don't understand the holy name. But if we do actually take the trouble to understand the holy name, if we do actually take the trouble to move forward and develop our connection with the holy name and embrace the holy name as Krishna Himself, then we will be with Krishna. It is the process. It is the whole lesson we are supposed to get from reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if we have Krishna and our thoughts are 100% connected to Krishna, then even such ecstatic behavior as we read here may become desirable to us at some point. We may think that this is such an exalted behavior, such a wonderful state of mind to be in, that one day I look forward to that stage when my love for Krishna is so vast that I would happily embrace this type of behavior. And I would one day want to be part of Mahaprabhu's pastimes and to see those ecstatic experiences of His. So I'll stop there. It is a very esoteric subject. I hope I've tried to do some level of justice to the subject. But if there are any questions, comments...